Part 3. Creating Real Estate Wealth. In this part, I explain how to apply the knowledge of Part 1 with the mental tools of Part 2 to create wealth in real estate by understanding cycles, strategies, and when to apply the right strategy for maximum profit. Chapter 12. Understanding the Different Types of Real Estate Investments. Property is the fruit of labor. Property is desirable. It is a positive good in the world. Abraham Lincoln. If you're going to buy new shoes or a new car, you need to know your choices. You may want to spend a lot of money buying the best pair of shoes or car you can find, or you may need something less expensive. Real estate is no different. You need to know what you can buy based on what you want to own. At the simplest level, there are two types of real estate: residential properties and commercial properties. Residential properties are anything that people can live in, such as single-family homes, duplexes, condominiums, and apartment buildings. Commercial properties are places where people do business, such as office buildings, retail storefronts, and warehouses. This book focuses exclusively on residential real estate investing because everyone needs to live somewhere, which makes residential properties much easier to buy and sell. In addition, residential properties are usually priced lower than commercial properties, making them easier for the average investor to buy with little or no money down. Best of all, residential properties can be not only an investment, but also a place for you to live. If you buy a duplex or an apartment building, you could live for free on your own property while your tenant's rent pays the mortgage. You can buy four types of residential real estate: houses, condominiums, rental units, duplexes, apartment buildings, etc., or empty land. Houses are basically single-family homes on a plot of land. Condominiums are basically apartments that you own instead of rent. A condominium is typically in a building with several other condominium units. Any home can also be a rental unit, but rental units are typically duplexes or apartment buildings where multiple people live under the same roof. A duplex, triplex, or quadplex consists of 2, 3, or 4 living units, respectively. You can think of duplexes, triplexes, and quadplexes as miniature apartment buildings. Apartment buildings typically contain multiple rental units. Finally, there's empty land. Although empty land may seem to offer no immediate source of income besides holding and selling later for a profit, you can make money with empty land or any type of property by being creative and thinking a little differently. Making money with real estate. There are a lot of incredible strategies on how to make money from real estate. But with all the strategies you are about to learn, real estate investing really boils down to a few simple tasks. You can buy property and sell it later at a profit. You can buy property and rent it. Or you can do both. For example, you can buy a home and rent it. While you're making money collecting rent, the property value is likely to increase every year. When the property value is high enough, you can think about selling and making a profit. I've simplified these two strategies, but I want you to see that you can get creative by attaching a unique strategy to each purchase and sale. You see, most people make money in real estate by accident. They buy a house in a great location that they can move into right away with minimal changes or improvements. They live in that house for several years, and then they sell it for a profit. Although there's nothing wrong with making money by turning your home into a profitable investment, this method alone takes too long for you to become a successful real estate investor. You want your home to appreciate in value while you are buying and selling or buying and renting other properties. I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait for 10 or 20 years before making money in real estate. I want to make money now, and I'll show you how you can make money in just a few years, months, or even weeks. The amount of money you can make in real estate depends entirely on you. In Chapter 15, you will learn that you can also make money with lease options and by assigning a contract to another buyer. But right now, I stick with the most common approaches to profiting from real estate. Making money buying and selling. You can make money buying and selling your own home, but for most people, that takes too long. So why not speed the process by improving the house to increase its value right away? If your area is in an upcycle, you can buy a house and make improvements while your home's value increases. When the improvements are finished, put the house on the market and sell it. You can do the same in any cycle as long as you are paying significantly less than what other homes in the area are selling for. Both your improvements and the upcycle will have raised the house's value so you can make a quick profit in a short amount of time. This is a strategy I used recently with a home I found on a cul-de-sac in a decent neighborhood. Although the neighborhood was prosperous, this particular house seemed like it didn't belong because it was not being cared for as well as the neighboring houses. The landscaping contained weeds and dead plants, and the exterior paint was faded and cracked. When looking for a house to buy, it's best to buy the worst house in a great neighborhood than the best house in a bad neighborhood. A bad neighborhood can drag the value of the best house down, while the great neighborhood can raise the value of even the worst house on the block. Through the realtor who represented the house, I found out that the owner didn't live in the area and had rented the house to tenants. Renters usually take minimal care of a property because they don't want to sink their own money into improving a home for their landlord. The carpets were ruined with pet stains and odors, the countertops were ugly, cracked, and faded, the garage doors were crooked, and the inside walls of the house had ugly stains. Most buyers are scared off from such a property because they are unsure how much money they will have to spend and how much time it will take to fix the property and make it ready for resale. Not me. Where others saw problems, I saw an opportunity. Despite the house's condition, it was still in a nice neighborhood. It was also on a cul-de-sac, which appeals to many people because it means less traffic. Families particularly like cul-de-sacs because the reduced traffic means it's a safer area for children to play. The potential of the house looked much brighter than its current condition, so I made an offer. To pay for the house, I used 100% financing, which meant that I didn't spend any of my own money. Obviously, 100% financing means you're going to pay more on interest, but because I was planning to have the house back on the market in about a month, the little bit in extra interest did not bother me. Before making an offer, however, I got a home inspection. I knew that besides the apparent problems, other things were probably neglected as well. I could use these problems as leverage when I submitted an offer. After making a list of the negatives of the home over and above its obvious appearance, I made an offer. Because the seller was motivated to get rid of the property, part of the offer was for him to give me 2% of the sale value back at closing. This 2%, commonly called a seller's concession, can be used to pay closing costs, such as title insurance, future taxes, insurance, title agency fee, and attorney's fees, and even go towards a down payment if needed. This ensured that I would not have to use any money out of my pocket. In fact, I got cash back at closing for this property. I got cash back at closing because the seller's concession was more than my expenses. So when you hear people say that they got cash back at closing, this is one way to do it. Now remember, the seller gave me a concession only because I asked and justified my claim with evidence. If you just ask for a concession because you want to pay less, the seller would likely get insulted and not sell you the property. I got a good but neglected home for less than the asking price, and I used 100% financing, so I didn't spend a dime of my own money. I then hired a handyman to make minor improvements, such as changing the countertops to a more modern color, putting in new carpeting, painting the inside, and even plugging in room fresheners around the house to make it smell fresher. In the backyard, the handyman trimmed the bushes, weeded, and threw out the dead plants. After a couple of weeks' work, the handyman's work, not mine, I put the house back for sale and sold it for about a $25,000 profit. I basically made $25,000 for less than 10 hours of physical work on my end. If I had held out, I could have made more because this area was starting to boom. But I had a lot of properties at the time, and I was in this for a fast buy and flip. During an upcycle, everyone's buying houses, but they want a nice house. I found a house that was run down and on the market for quite some time. The longer a house remains on the market, the more the seller will be motivated to make concessions to sell. Having an upcycle made the seller even more frustrated because people were buying every house but his. When you buy a house and fix it, make sure that the cost of the improvements don't outweigh the potential profit. That's why I kept my improvements to a minimum. The key is to find homes with just enough things wrong that they will turn most people away, but not enough things wrong that you can't fix them at a minimal cost. The ideal fix and flip occurs when most of the things wrong are small cosmetic flaws, such as painting or cleaning. If the thought of taking out a mortgage on a second house seems too risky, find a house that you want to live in. After all, you need to live somewhere, so why not make your home your investment at the same time? After buying a house, you can slowly fix it up and improve it. The improvements don't need to be major, such as installing a swimming pool or building a second story. Sometimes, improvements can be as simple as putting in new windows, painting the house a brighter color, or installing new kitchen countertops. After making improvements and living in the house for a few years, put it on the market and sell it for a higher price than what you paid for it. If nobody is willing to pay that amount because the real estate cycle is down or near the bottom, it doesn't matter because you'll still have a place to live. If someone buys the house, you can look for a new house and start the process again. I did this many times and made hundreds of thousands of dollars in the process. Making money with rental income. Although making $25,000 buying and selling a house for a few hours of work is great, those opportunities may not be readily available in a down market. The homes may be available but not selling as fast. You can make a steady, predictable source of income in real estate through rental income. You own the property, and someone else pays you rent to live there. You can rent any type of living area. At the simplest level, you can rent a spare bedroom in your own house. But most real estate investors rent separate units, such as homes, condominiums, duplexes, or apartments. When you buy any property, you'll have to pay a monthly mortgage. So the goal with rental property is to charge rent that exceeds, or worst-case scenario, equals, your monthly mortgage and all your expenditures, such as taxes, insurance, and maintenance. That way, your renters pay your bills and provide you a little extra every month as positive cash flow, while the value of the property increases. Rental properties gave me my jump start into the real estate investing world. Can owning rental property be challenging? Of course, but anything that can reward you with such big dividends is always challenging. To assist you in your current and future rentals, I dedicate an entire chapter to managing properties. In my early 20s, I had close to 30 rental units and managed them all myself, so you'll learn firsthand what to do as well as what to avoid. Understanding property investments. Now that you have a brief insight on how to make money selling property or renting it, it's time to look at the different types of property investments. Each type of investment property offers advantages and disadvantages. Some people specialize in just buying and selling homes. Others prefer buying and selling rental properties, and still others do both, depending on the opportunities. After you review the different types of properties you can buy, you can decide for yourself which types of properties you find most attractive. In real estate, there is no single right way to make money. The only right way to make money is to always make a profit. Single-family homes. Everyone needs a place to live. And when most people dream about owning their own home, they usually think of a single-family home with a front and backyard. When you buy a single-family home, you can rent it at much higher prices than an apartment or a condominium, or you can hold it long enough to sell it at a tremendous profit. Home renters tend to be more responsible and affluent than typical apartment renters, which means you should normally have fewer problems with tenants if you choose to rent your property. When the real estate market is in an up cycle, selling a house is easy. When the real estate market is in a down cycle, renting a house is easy because fewer people have the money to buy one. If you can buy a home whose mortgage and other expenses are less than what you can charge for rent, you most likely have a winner. Or if you can buy a home at a discount because it needs work or the previous owner went through financial hardship, you can fix and flip it. Buying distressed properties is one of the easiest strategies for new investors to make quick cash and start to learn the business. If you just keep your eyes and ears open, you can find properties that look terrible but need only a quick facelift. And the money you can make buying and then reselling this type of home can be incredible. Real life story. My friend Steve and his wife have purchased and sold 16 handyman specials. He used the no-money-down principles that you'll soon learn. His strategy was to buy a rundown house in a neighborhood that was expanding and fix it up himself. Then he'd turn around and sell it. On his first house, he made almost $40,000. He still has a copy of the check framed on his wall. Now he's averaging an extra $10,000 a month in pure profit by flipping homes. As Steve became more experienced, his skills became more refined. Now he's finding homes that haven't been remodeled since the 1950s. He purchases them and hires a team of people to rip up the carpet and put down tile, paint the walls, put in new countertops, paint the outside of the house, and mow and manicure the lawn. This makes the house look 100 times better. He puts an average of $10,000 into each house and sells them for a profit of between $10,000 and $40,000 each, with no physical labor on his part. Initially, Steve's credit was terrible. His wife's credit was terrible, and he had no money to get started. But they learned how to invest in real estate by taking action. Surprisingly, they do this part-time. Steve loves his full-time job as a pilot. Steve's wife quit her job and stays home with their young son while helping out with Steve's real estate investing in her spare time. If you wanted to be a runner, you wouldn't run one day and expect to be fast, would you? No, you'd understand that you have to practice. Well, the more you do the things I'm teaching you, the more you'll sharpen your skills. You'll also expand on my ideas, making them your own. Condominiums. Like single-family homes, condominiums are easy to sell in an upmarket and easy to rent in a downmarket. Unlike houses, condominiums are much less expensive to buy. For the price of a single house in a typical city, you may be able to buy 3 or more condominiums. Condominiums are most popular in crowded areas, such as the downtown area of a popular city. If you live in a rural area, condominiums may be hard to find or non-existent. Many condominiums are former apartments turned into separate units. Because of their lower price, condominiums offer first-time buyers a chance to buy property of their own. Because condominiums don't have a front or backyard, maintenance is generally easier. Families tend to rent single-family houses, and couples and single people tend to buy or rent condominiums. Condominiums may be less expensive than single-family homes, but they also lack the privacy of a house on its own lot. Real-life story. Scott is a 21-year-old college student. He knew that real estate made people a ton of money, but he thought he would need to be older or have a lot of money to get started. Scott also had a few obstacles, such as having no credit, no experience, and no income. He had been reading about real estate and purchased my course. That's when he realized my most important lesson: you have to take action. At the time, Scott was renting an apartment near Arizona State University's campus. His landlord owned close to 25 condos in the same complex, which Scott knew was a great investment because it was so close to the campus and the restaurants and bars. One day, when he was paying his rent to his landlord, Scott mentioned that if the landlord was ever interested in selling any of his units, Scott would be interested in purchasing one. The landlord called him about a week later and said that he would sell Scott one of his two-bedroom units for $270,000. Scott told him that he was very interested and would get back to him within the week. Scott said, "When I hung up the phone, I was so excited I could have jumped through the roof. But then I was quickly grounded when I realized that I didn't have $270,000, or so I thought." The property was worth around $300,000 to $320,000, so a lot of profit was in the deal if he could find an investor. Scott called everyone he knew and finally found 2 real estate investors who were looking to purchase property near the college campus. Scott worked out a deal that if the investors would put up the money, he would do the painting and cleaning to have the place ready within 30 days. Scott was also willing to pay for all the cleanup and half the mortgage payment if it did not sell before the first payment was due. The investors agreed to give him 40% of the profit, so together they bought the property. Within 8 days, Scott cleaned up the property, had it looking like new. Because the area was experiencing a major upswing market, they had 2 offers the first day they put the property on the market. One offer was for the full price of $325,000. The investors and Scott sold the property without ever making a single payment and wound up profiting $27,000 after the closing costs and the cost of the materials they put into the property. Scott's share was a little over $10,000. After this success, Scott is currently working on his second deal. Rental units. Rental units are properties specifically designed for renting, such as duplexes, triplexes, and apartment buildings, although you can always rent a house or a condominium. Unlike houses and condominiums, rental units also offer you the chance of living on your own property while letting your renters pay part or all of your monthly mortgage, essentially allowing you to live cheaply or even for free. In high-priced areas such as New York or San Francisco, this advantage alone can make rental units a great source of income and a cheap place to live at the same time. Although tenant turnover is greater in multiple-unit dwellings, you have the convenience of many units in one place. I have owned quite a few multiple-unit dwellings throughout the years, most of which I sold during peak cycles, and I have always made money on them. Like single-family homes and condominiums, a rental unit property's location can be crucial. If your rental unit is near a university, you can expect a steady stream of student renters in the fall, winter, and spring, and a sudden absence of renters in the summer. Buying and selling rental units may not be as easy as buying and selling single-family houses or condominiums. Generally, only other investors want to buy rental units. When most families or couples want to buy property, they usually think of a house or a condominium. As a result, selling a rental unit, especially a large one, can be difficult in any market because there will be fewer buyers. But with proper planning and long-term goals, rental units can be an incredible boost to your real estate investing career. As mentioned, one unique advantage of rental units is that they give you a chance to live for free. I probably overstate this fact because I have lived in my own rental units for free on several occasions and have helped others do the same. For example, I once bought a parcel of property that had 5 rental buildings, but one was in bad shape and needed to be torn down. I fixed 4 buildings and put up a duplex, a 2-family house, on the space left vacant from tearing down the 5th building. My sister-in-law had lived at home her entire life because she couldn't afford a mortgage, so I said, "Listen, if you don't mind the inconvenience of getting some calls and renting and managing all 5 rental units, I can show you how to live in a new house for free." She was happy to have the opportunity. So I told her exactly how much I was making from all the rental income. I showed her that if she bought all 5 units, the rent coming in could cover her mortgage, taxes, and insurance with a little bit left over for maintenance. Basically, she could live for free and build equity, but she had to be the property manager of the remaining 4 rental units. She'd keep a pager at her side and a list of people she could call to come and fix things when needed. Well, that's exactly what she did. And while she was living there for free, her tenants were building her net worth, and she built her credit. She lived there for 2 years and then sold it. This was perfect, because she sold it at a profit and put the money down on another house where I acted as a general contractor. She learned a valuable lesson, and when we were designing her new house, I said, "How about making it a 2-family house?" And that's what we did. We designed the house strategically, and you couldn't even tell there was an apartment in the house. She now gets $1,200 a month from rent, and it pays a good chunk of her monthly expenses. Compromising a little can make the difference between having to struggle and being able to spend money as you like. My sister-in-law likes to travel, and she can use the money she saves to go on vacation. She also has a timeshare on a Caribbean island. She would never have enjoyed herself as much or had as much flexibility if she hadn't learned how to compromise. It taught her lessons that will last a lifetime. You can make money with real estate in a million ways. My best definition of a real estate investor is someone who is open-minded, not afraid to go for it, knows personalities and people, isn't afraid to ask, and makes things happen. Making money with rental units can come in many forms. Just be aware of the cycle you are in and the available buying strategies, and your mind will open up to a new way of thinking and making money. Vacant land. Vacant land poses a particular challenge. On the one hand, most people shy away from empty land because they can't rent it to generate income, they can't live on it, and it's more difficult to get a loan. On the other hand, empty land offers unique opportunities that single-family houses, condominiums, and rental units can't offer. I have made a great deal of money in my real estate investing career by buying vacant land, holding it for a short time, and flipping it for a profit or subdividing a bigger parcel into smaller sections. If you know your local market and the cycle you are in, you can buy vacant land for a great discount and sell it for a profit. I always keep my eyes open for vacant land with a unique circumstance attached to it that I can resolve inexpensively. For example, remember the story I told in a previous chapter of buying a piece of property that looked like swampland from the road? Once you got through the wet area, the property was gorgeous. I simply used the dirt from the higher areas to fill in the lower regions, and the property was immediately worth 3 times more. I subdivided the property into 5 buildable lots and sold each lot at a tremendous profit. But even if I had just fixed the property and flipped it, I would have made money. In general, I suggest that you buy and sell vacant land after you get experience investing in real estate. First, build up some equity and cash from other ventures. Then consider investing in vacant land when you have more experience and extra money to invest. However, don't rule out strategies such as lease options and locking up property on contract, which can allow you to make huge profits from raw land. Conclusion. As you can see, every type of investment property offers unique opportunities and challenges for making money. Now that you know the different types of residential properties you can buy and the unique profit potential of each, it's time to look at different strategies for buying them in different real estate markets.